Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. And I'm excited to welcome the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you? What's going on?
I'm doing good. We're going to talk about anxiety today, which is a psychological symptom that is rampant, especially with COVID and other things that are going on. And we have an expert from Canada today to talk to us, Aki Schultz. And she is a registered psychotherapist, an internationally registered expressive art consultant, educator, and a certified EMDR therapist, author of third edition, Loving Your Life. And we're talking to her today about her book, Anxiety Warrior. And we're going to get into the conversation on some aspects of anxiety that you might not be familiar with. Aki, it's nice to have you on the program today.
Hi, Wynn. Thank you. Happy to be here and happy to share.
Okay, so you've got a long career in thinking about anxiety. Did you have anxiety in your childhood? How did this get started for you?
Well, oh, that's a good question. And yes, I did, and I still have generalized anxiety. I manage it. As a child, I am highly sensitive. So when we have that character trait, it certainly makes us prone to anxiety and depression. As a child, we didn't talk about it. So I was one of those kids that had migraines, I had flu symptoms, and it seemed to coincide before big projects or tests. And then as a teenager, I did stutter, and I have a mild dyslexia. So what happens is I switch some of my letters. I have to be super careful. I have to memorize numbers and group them, otherwise I mix them up, and it's just the way my brain is. And then it wasn't until I was probably in my mid-30s that I identified anxiety. I was actually researching it for somebody else, and I read about it, I went, oh my goodness, this is something that's been in my life. So that really started my journey of discovery and exploration. And and then also with my students and clients, and that's how that journey began.
So you had anxiety from early life and it continued, and you researched the problem, came up with some solutions, and wrote a book called Anxiety Warrior, right?
Yep.
I think since you're an expert on anxiety, and our listening audience is not, define for them in simple terms, what is anxiety?
Well, that's a good question. And when I've done talks, people have asked, you know, what's the difference between anxiety and even stress? So, because a lot of the symptoms are, and we can talk about that in a minute, a lot of the symptoms manifest a similar way. So anxiety in general is a feeling of worry, of nervousness, of agitation. And it also is a worry about something about to happen or the future. So it's a very, it's anticipatory. Fear versus anxiety is, I live in the woods, and, one day a skunk chased me, and that's actually true. Anyways, that is fear. I mean, you know, when a skunk is thumping, it's got its tail up, you're kind of worried, worried and, fearful that something's going to happen. So, but then now anticipatory would be if I told that story to somebody and then they're walking down the same path and then they're having anxiety or worry symptoms of perhaps something happening. And so that's the difference. So fear, we need both. So anxiety is really tapping us on the shoulder and saying, hey, pay attention to something. And we can talk a little bit more about that as we go along. And then I mentioned the word worry, And worry is comes from the English word rigon. And what it means is to strangle. And that's kind of how that feels. So worry, of course, is many looping thoughts. And that would be worry, over agonizing, yeah, things like that. So what those are some of those definitions.
What I recognize with the word worry is that basically the unknown is so hard for people. And a lot of people want to predict the unknown or put stop signs in the unknown, meaning that we can't go somewhere because of specifically this worry that this is what's going to happen before it even happens. And sometimes the worry is worse than what the result of what the worry was. How do we stop that? That's such a really big problem. So, for example, you're making a big decision that could be a risk involved. We're already looking at what that risk could cause. And a lot of times, whatever that result is, isn't what the worry is.
Well, these are great, Neil. They're, so what I address in the book, and you just guide me of how much you want me to share today, is we talk about, there's a worry assignment. So it's what I call a very easy, approachable fix for that. And then there's also a section on called decision making, and how to not over agonize and how to prioritize decision making. And also, how do we let go of that unknown? Because really, all we know is right now. And, we don't really know what's going to happen this afternoon or this evening even, right?
Let me take you in a different direction now. Let's go back. You have in your book 7 different types of anxiety, and yep, I'm going to list them and yep, let you give us a short explanation of what we're talking about, okay? The first one is generalized anxiety disorder, often called GAD, G-A-D.
Oh, did you want me to go one at a time?
Yes, huh?
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I thought you're okay. Well, the generalized. So just before I start with these, any of these we can fit into. Anxiety itself is not a, what I want to say, it's not a wrong or unpleasant thing. It's part of our human spectrum. What happens is, and as I talk about these, is when it stops us, from thriving, when it stops us from moving forward, or like Neil said, taking a risk or changing something in our life, that's when it's problematic. So generalized anxiety, what happens with it is it creates a lot of fatigue. There's this general edginess. There's a lot of restlessness, tension, negative thoughts, disaster thinking. When we're not on top of that or managing it, it can get away on us. So that's generalized anxiety. A lot of my clients do have that. And so it's about taking some strategies and managing that.
Okay. The second type is social phobia. Tell us about that.
Well, social phobia is people, when you're feeling afraid to go out or be with lots of people or even anybody. It depends on the extent of the social phobia. And a lot of it, too, there's an underlying cause for that. And some of the people are worried they're going to have a panic attack or they're going to be judged, or people think ill of them. So that those thoughts are so debilitating that they get very nervous going out.
Okay. So you mentioned a more severe type of anxiety called panic disorder. Tell us what the symptoms and problems
are. Yeah, and a panic disorder, again, can come from different layers in ourselves. And what a panic disorder is, people having heart palpitations. So they feel like they're having a heart attack. And just, I just want to be really clear, if you're concerned, always go to the hospital. I'm not a medical doctor, and Probably somebody around you isn't, so you really need to have that checked medically. However, when that happens over and over again, you know, that can be a panic disorder, excessive sweating. So the panic disorder is a heightened state of the stressors and physical symptoms.
It's amazing to look at when you have a panic attack, how much symptoms, a heart attack, something really serious like the flu, all these different types of stomach viruses, all that together. Why is it that you could go through a serious panic attack and nothing could happen to you? Meaning nothing health-wise will happen to you, but you'll go through the motions of it. Can you explain that?
Yeah, Neil, that's fantastic question, because the power of our minds and how we think, and 90% of our diseases come from stress. I mean, 90%, that's really, really high. And that's not something I've come up with. That's a medical statistic. And even in my practice, as I help people, as we go through some of these disorders or symptoms, I can see people, actually their bodies going through many, many symptoms. And we call that somatic. It's the body can create these or recreate them. Even something as high as pain, is we can retrain our minds. And it's pretty powerful. We have 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And we can choose how we think about things and how and where we focus. So I hope that answers that question.
It does. It's really scary to look at. You're right. When you talk about specifically enough, all 90% of our mind worries and different things causes disease, sickness, and everything. And yet we always are willing to let our bodies be attacked versus taking then basically doing what makes us happy. It's crazy.
Absolutely. And you know what, Neil, I think that's underlying in my passion to, you know, bring these books forward and these strategies. And I love doing these interviews because it's all accessible. We can actually do this. It doesn't have to cost money. And, you know, I always say the books cost less than a pizza. I mean, it's something that we can do. And I do talk about it. So I'm happy again, to share.
So number four in your list, and it's related to what you talked about previously, social phobia, is agoraphobia.
Right. Yeah. So it's that's what I mean, is they tend to be a little bit linked together. And agoraphobia is a phobia where the person doesn't want to leave the house. And again, it is another heightened form of social anxiety. People that are agoraphobic usually are worried again about having a meltdown or a panic attack when they go out. They don't want to be embarrassed. So they're very self-conscious. They think everybody is watching them. So all these thoughts that go on that cripple them so much that they do not want to leave the home.
So and that's next, you talked about other phobias other than that.
Yes.
One.
Yes. So, and those are, I mean, so some people can control some of their phobias. So if people have a phobia about clowns, that one's not uncommon. They will just stay away from either, you know, clown shows or pictures of clowns. They will stay away. Some people have phobias for spiders. Some have phobias of snakes. And so a phobia is different than, you know, if we saw a rattler snake, I mean, we want to be aware of, you know, snakes that, like, I live out, I have 6 acres here. So I enjoy my snakes. None of them are venomous and they don't bite. I leave them alone. They leave me alone. However, if you have a phobia of a snake, it would probably stop you from coming onto the property or probably being very conscientious. So again, some of the phobias, it really, you know, some people can manage them. And if even like you have a phobia of a chicken, of chickens, you would just stay away from chickens. And that can be manageable. So you can still lead a very full, thriving life and avoid a phobia. However, when these phobias take over, that's when you want to address them.
That's when you constantly, phobias happen based on constant repetition, that it becomes really in your mind that you just have to do it to do the next activity, a phobia.
Absolutely.
Or I have to stay away and I can't be part of a crowd is a phobia. But one after two incidences, it could become an everyday occurrence that you don't want to be in crowds, right? Kind of explain that.
Absolutely. It's when it controls how you, I think you've said it really well, is how it controls how you move forward and the choices that you make. And if any of these things stop you, that's when you want to address them. So,
okay, let's go on to the sixth point, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Tell us how that relates to anxiety.
Yeah. So, and I left post-traumatic stress. And actually now they're trying to change that name to just post-traumatic stress. They want to drop the disorder word. And I'm going to also talk about obsessive compulsive. So OCD, they were the last two mentioned in that list. And so when, again, these probably would take therapy, some help to address. And so post-traumatic stress, it can come, so it's trauma related. And again, if there's something that maybe you don't know is affecting you, maybe you do know, however, again, it's stopping you from having a good life. The symptoms there they range from sleeplessness to irritation, hypervigilance. A lot of times we think trauma is invasive dreams or flashbacks. It's not. It can come up as even anger all the time and things like that. So, and usually caused from a trauma. And again, traumas don't need to be catastrophic. They can also be repetitive. Not always one incident. It could be multiple incidences. And the brain grabs trauma. There's not always a reason. And sometimes there is, but as much as we know science-wise about neuroscience and the brain, we can't always explain it. Though the good news is there are strategies for that. And if you're suffering, it would probably be a good idea to consult with a therapist about that. And then
trauma doesn't just mean physical trauma. It also means emotional, spiritual, or any aspect of trauma that you've had in your life.
Absolutely. Yes.
And your last point was obsessive compulsive disease. Tell us the relationship between obsessive compulsive disease and anxiety.
Well, it does. OCD, which is the obsessive compulsive, is a symptom of trauma, and or it could also come actually could be learned. That's possible. And it does come from a form of anxiety where the person feels they need to do a ritual of some kind before they can carry on. So some of these rituals are turning lights on and off 10 times, touching door handles, perhaps, you know, a certain routine that has to be done in a certain order and a certain amount of times. Again, if, you know, if they're mild, most people, right, we don't notice them, or we, you know, we joke and we say, oh, I'm a little bit OCD. It doesn't seem to, again, stop us from thriving. It doesn't hurt ourselves or our families or anyone else around us. So, you know, we can roll with it. It's just, again, when these rituals, tend to cause ourselves pain or somebody around us. And again, it would take therapy to calm those down.
And it leads because of another traumatic experience. Meaning,
sorry?
Like other obsessive compulsive disorder sometimes is hereditary, but also if it was caused by another traumatic issue, like another bad incident in your life that happened that leads to that, right? So there's a mixture of ways that you can develop obsessive compulsive disorder, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it is a form of trying to control some safety and some ritual in our lives.
So when I was practicing family practice, I think 25% of my patients came in with a complaint of anxiety. Mm. So it's pretty common complaint. And when I talk about people who have addiction problems, anxiety is the number one symptom of that disease. Yeah. So you can see how important it is to get a handle on it. I don't think personally that the correct way to treat it is pharmacologically to give somebody anti-anxiety drugs, because they have their own set of problems associated with them. And so in my book on addiction, we have a spiritual type treatment for anxiety as it results from addictive behaviors. But you also have some ideas on things that you can do to cut down on your anxiety. And what would be your top thing that you would tell people, okay, try this?
Well, and here's the thing is, one of the first, if I were to give you two words out of the books, is awareness and practice. And I think, you know, there's many strategies that we can use. And one of them, the first one that I introduce, is a scale 0 to 10. And it's really important that you understand your body, that you understand where your anxieties come from. And as much as maybe, and I hope our talk doesn't sound too overwhelming, is it is manageable and it is understandable. And that's the first step. And, you know, zero in this scale of 0 to 10, zero is calm. So that your body is feeling at ease, it's calm. Doesn't mean you're necessarily happy or sad, just in a very calm, harmonic state. 10 is a state of not being able to think very well, maybe short-circuiting, not being able to put a sentence together. Perhaps it's crying, perhaps it's this panic attack. So this scale of 0 to 10, understanding where you are. And one of the things that we talk about is, you know, everybody understands their zero and they understand their 10. However, where are you every day? And so we start looking at that scale of what does that look like and where would you like to be? Like right now, I'm not a zero. I don't expect to be. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited. So I'm probably a 1 or 2. And, you know, but if I were a 3 or 4 or 5 in my life, then I want to start pulling out those strategies because I don't want to go up that slippery slope to 10. So managing, and we could talk a little bit about some of these strategies if we've got time.
Okay, so you have strategies in your book that they can read and see if they will work on anxiety for them. Where do our listeners get your book?
Probably the easiest way is they can check out Amazon, and it is available there as an audio, as an ebook, as a paperback. It's the easiest probably. And if they want to, and we're just also developing a website called anxietywarrior.ca. Where people can go, and there's lots of YouTubes, different resources that we're piling onto that website that people can just access. There's no charge. They don't have to sign up. So, though, and they can actually access the book from there, and they can also access my website if they want to, because there's lots of free resources. And part of my passion is to make it as available as possible.
When I was reviewing your media documents, it said you had written Anxiety Warrior Part 1 and Part 2. The book that I have just says Anxiety Warrior. Now, what title do they go to on Amazon to get this
book? Anxiety Warrior. Yeah, the first one, what happened was I had created the book after a lot of talks. And then after the first one was created, and it's just Anxiety Warrior, and with the title of my name, which is Elka Scholes, that will get them to the right book. And yeah, the second volume was just, again, and it's a combination of other people. So yoga poses, breathing, okay, essential oils.
Well, I just want to make sure that they asked for the right book.
Okay, right. Just Anxiety Warrior.
Okay.
Now,
something I'd like to get in lightly. You talk about 11 layers of anxiety.
Right.
Why do you want to talk about layers of anxiety?
Well, one of the things, Wynn, is if we can understand the layers, and here's the thing is when I was exploring my own anxiety, sometimes when I would discover the cause of it, it was gone within seconds. And then the next day I would have anxiety and I would use that strategy. And I thought, wait a minute, why is it not working? And I discovered that anxiety comes from different layers. And that's why that scale works really well, because if we can look at things, I talk about substances, we can lower our anxiety in so many different areas that our resilience, then we're in a place where we can handle life better.
Okay, so if you want to find out about the 11 layers, make sure that you go and pick up a copy of Anxiety Warrior. Aki, you've got a lot of information in the book, and we don't have the amount of time to be able to get into everything, but is there some point or a couple of points that you would like to talk about right now before we end our conversation today?
Well, that's a tough one. I think especially with what's going on with our world, if we can be as present as possible, and I know people have talked about that. And so one of the things I could ask is if you could look at your life as what's right in front of you right now. And whether it's this hour, whether it's that we've woken up, like we are walking miracles. We're living on a phenomenal planet in a phenomenal time. And practicing gratitude with that presence has been for me the number one thing that has pulled me out and has helped me on this journey. And I would hope that would help listeners too. So being present, and what does that look like? And for you, and practicing gratitude.
Right. Awesome. I think if you start your day with listing all the things that you're grateful for, your day is going to be a lot different than if you don't have that kind of communication with yourself every day. So to the people who are listening to this show today, I hope that you get something out of it that'll make your life richer, fuller, and safer. I am once again Reverend Wynn Henderson. As an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor, I have a dual perspective to bring you content to solve problems in your life. Freedom from Addiction to Share Your Mission is the longest running, single hosted and produced spiritual radio internet talk show in America. It's been continuously running for over 20 years. And I introduce you to celebrities and non-celebrities alike that have something to say about the disease of addiction in its 30 different forms and of the importance of finding your mission or purpose in life. And then in addition to that, as an investigative host, I search out for things, for truth, just below the surface. So the major thing that I want is for people who have an addictive problem to get over it. And so you can go to Amazon and get Freedom from Addiction number 3. And you can also get it wherever books are sold. I'd like to give you the links that are free for more information. That podcast that I was telling you about is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. You spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. No spaces, no capitals. And you can go over and find out more about addiction at www.revwinhendersonmd.com. And Alki, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. And Neil, thank you for...
Yeah, it's such great content. Very good. Really enjoyed it for sure. And anything else to add, Win?
I'm done.
All right, so great. That was Freedom from Addiction, Truth Justice Below the Surface. Take care, guys.